BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Could you just say that for me?
I'm Michael Spicer, and this is No Room.
Thank you very much. I'll take that.
I'm Michael Spicer, and this is No Room.
I've mounted a landline phone next to my bathroom mirror because every now and again I like to pretend that I'm visiting my twin brother in jail.
Now, as we know, it's been a tumultuous start for the new Prime Minister, and things aren't going to get any better because we have a fresh challenger for his leadership this morning, the current Minister for Culture, Media and Sport, Stuart Piper Aloysius, who joins us from outside his home in Great Chope. Minister, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Alex.
So why now?
Well, although I'm great friends with the current leader and respect him wholeheartedly, I'm afraid he is simply not delivering on the promises he made when he became leader 2 months ago.
But just last week, you threw your support behind him. You said that there was a lot of work to do in your department and you just wanted to get on with your job.
Yes, well, if I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what it means. I'm not a very cultural person. I think a lot of art is a complete waste of time. And what I know about sport, you could write on the top of a golf bat. And so I have handed in my resignation today in order to begin my leadership campaign in earnest.
Well, what can you offer party members that hasn't been offered by the five different leaders who tried and failed before you?
Well, I have an app.
An app?
Yes, it's called Stuart in Your Pocket, and it's designed not only to update people on my campaign, but also to provide a place where they can send me direct messages. Not direct messages in the traditional sexy sense of the word.
Well, that's a relief.
They can tell me what's important to them, and I will do my level best to read and respond to all the messages, because I believe capturing the hearts and minds of the British public is paramount to a successful campaign.
Sounds like you're getting some messages already.
Yes, indeed. This is wonderful.
Why don't you engage with your voters right now, live on air?
Yes, OK. Let's engage. OK. Well, actually, let's engage with them later on.
Don't you want to read any of them out now?
No, it's all very, No, I don't, no. Susan, can you take this? And can you stop the pinging? And can you also put a block on the C word, please? Thank you.
What's it called again? Stuart in my...
What are you doing?
I'm downloading the app.
No, don't download the app. It's not for you. It's specifically for party members. So
I'm
so
just
please,
signing up
now. No, not yet.
Oh, dear. I think you should put some kind of block on the C word.
Yes, I'm doing that now. Could you just...
Yeah, it was a great exhibition at the Royal Academy of Arts today. It was end-to-end. You had the likes of your Van Goghs, your Toulouse-Lautrecs, your Renoirs, all turning up for the big occasion. The Royal Academy is a tough place to go at the best of times, but they turned in some terrific performances this afternoon. Manet's pastel sketches showed that he really had great technique for a big man, and I very much enjoyed the high intensity of the lad Degas. He was finding pockets of light all over his ethereal interpretations. I mean, he's a top painter. The dreamlike renderings of Monet proved that he can be good with his left hand as well as his right, and I know he was struggling to find form at the start of the season, and people said that he lacked composure in the final third of the canvas, but as soon as he got one powerful symbolic impressionist masterpiece under his belt, loads more came shortly afterwards, and as expected, he went on a little run after that, and I couldn't be happier for the boy. He's a smashing lad by all accounts, and after this performance, he's sure to be knocking on the Royal Academy president's door saying, give me a shot at a full retrospective, gaffer. So yeah, all in all, the exhibition was a tremendous victory. The lads really put a shift in, but they've got to keep doing that week in, week out. It's just a shame that they lost Degas for the rest of the season with the recurrence of that niggling injury he's got. You know, syphilis.
OK, Minister, you've had another question that's arrived on your app.
Oh, goody, what does this one say? My haircut makes me look like a murderer. You could drive a train between the gap in my teeth, what?
I'm doing my best to filter out the abuse, Minister.
It's nothing but abuse, Alex. And some of it doesn't even make sense. You look like Justin Webb with a peanut allergy. What does that even mean?
Look, here's a question. How can you run for leader when you have far too much of your own money tied up in big oil and petrochemicals? I mean, that's actually a good question, Minister. Why don't you answer it?
OK, yeah, I will, because it's a very easy answer. I have no money tied up in big oil and petrochemicals. Not a penny. And I would tread very carefully before that user makes any more slanderous accusations.
Well, they've sent a follow-up question. I'm not talking about you, Minister. I'm talking about the completely fictional businessman that you invented in 2019 to allow you to conduct all your nefarious business deals via an offshore company that you set up with your brother-in-law. Minister?
Look, we've got another question. Mate, your Adam's apple is so distracting, you look like you're trying to swallow a model of the Cutty Sark. You lot have got to stop sleeping with your cousins. I'll field this one, actually. That's an interesting question from Mr. Fergal Snarky. Let me answer the first part of the question, Mr. Snarky. A number of people have commented...
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. We are pleased to report that the escaped prisoner Daniel Collins, otherwise known as the Jawbreaker, has been recaptured. I'd like to thank everyone in the area, local law enforcement, local community leaders, for their tireless efforts in making sure that this violent criminal is back behind bars. As you are no doubt aware, we spent nearly 2 weeks searching for Mr. Collins along the South Kent coast as we were anticipating an escape via the port of Dover. As it turned out, this was unnecessary. Acting on a tip-off from a woman in Ashford, we discovered that Mr. Collins had joined a dating app and called himself the Jawbreaker. His bio read, "I love going out and partying, but I'm just as happy at home chilling with a glass of wine and breaking someone's jaw." Now, I'm aware that some members of you in the media said that it was in bad taste to give Mr. Collins a sensationalist nickname. But if we hadn't have done that, we'd still be looking for him, wouldn't we? So my advice to police officers is next time you're looking for an escaped convict, you know, get creative.
Roger Falsman, Deputy Education Minister, why have you said that gender identity should not be taught in schools?
Well, we've produced a set of guidelines to deal with the widespread problem of children being exposed to disturbing content, and I think that parents can now feel safe that their children will remain ignorant.
So are you saying that schools are no place to discuss gender fluidity?
The only fluid that should be present in schools is correction fluid. The things I've heard that have been going on in our classrooms are quite frankly shocking.
What has been going on?
I've no idea, but I've spoken to some people who were shocked and told me that if I knew what was going on, I'd be shocked too, and that shocked me.
But what should a teacher do if they themselves have transitioned?
They should just keep it to themselves.
What if a child is curious and asks them a question about it?
They should just say that they're feeling under the weather.
Do you think a child would accept that?
Of course, children believe anything. I used to tell my daughter that I was the Stig, you know, in Top Gear. She's such a dimwit. She's permanent secretary for work and pensions now.
What do you say to people who think you're diminishing sex ed in schools?
Look, I am a huge supporter of sex ed in schools. I just wish he'd drop the nickname. It's a joke. He gets it.
Stuart Piper Aloysius here, back on the socials, to update you on my leadership campaign. It's going very well so far. A few days ago, I was bombarded by hundreds of messages levelling all sorts of unfounded allegations at me, so I tinkered with the app to improve the privacy settings. Unfortunately, I failed in doing that and somehow made the app less private. As a result, I appear to have shared with you my personal photo album. That was a mistake, and I apologise. I also apologise if you found the images of me at a friend's fancy dress party offensive. The photos were taken many years ago when attitudes were a bit different to what they are now. And at the time, dressing up the way that I did was perfectly acceptable. It was about 2015, I think. Anyway, I am very sorry to all of you, and I must urge you to please delete the offending images as quickly as possible, particularly the one of me goose-stepping round the garden carrying a hedge trimmer like a rifle. Thank you.
Hello? If there's anyone out there, can they please answer my question?
Look, I really don't think this is a good idea, Jeremy.
Shh. I must know, and this is the only way.
But you don't know what you're dealing with. I mean, who knows what evil spirits may be lurking on the other side?
It's a chance I'm willing to take. Now, put your hands on the glass here. If you can hear me out there, please answer me. What is the best superfood?
Just ask Google.
No, I'm not using search engines anymore. They keep all your data and invade your privacy. At least you know where you are with the occult. Now, come on. Oh! Stop using me as a search engine. Oh, look, can you just answer the question, please? Fine. Kale, right. Thank you. That wasn't so hard, was it?
Stuart Piper Aloysius here. It is with deep regret that I am announcing my withdrawal from the leadership contest. This is because of the ongoing technical problems with my app, which somehow synced itself with my personal phone and leaked every email, every photo, and every classified document to every single subscriber. The good news is that my app now has 70 million new subscribers, making it the most popular app in the UK. The bad news is that I have accidentally incriminated myself 324 times. So whilst I try to extricate myself from this pickle, I will have to take a step back from frontline politics. But don't worry, because I will be back and I will be stronger than ever.
Time's up, sir. Hand it over, please.
But I'm doing a live stream on my socials.
I don't care if you're doing a piss on the news at 10. Hand over your phone. I've got to bag it up.
All right. Sorry, everyone. I have to go now. But remember, if anyone can turn this country around, it's me. Stuart Piper Aloysius. I'm your only hope.
All right, that's enough, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Take it to cell 3, sir.
Could you switch it off, please? Because you're going to wear out the battery. Please.
Hello, it's Robin Ince here with a new series of The Infinite Monkey's Guide 2. We've gone back through all of the episodes of The Infinite Monkey Cage and we've ransacked the archive to bring you the best bits from scientists and celebrities with handy little guides to everything from failure to the future. We'll even throw in a bit of religion too.
Yeah, hello. It's Brian Cox here. We pulled together the best moments from the past 28 series of the show. 28 series. To bring you some of the funniest moments and the most surprising science, with guests including Eric Idle, Dave Gorman, and our resident theologian, Katie Brand.
It's called The Infinite Monkey's Guide 2.
Listen first on BBC Sounds.